Hello, everyone.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Em.
And welcome to our podcast discussing all the latest books. This is Season 3, Episode 6. And today we are discussing The Spanish Love Deception by Elena Armas. Super excited. As always, we will save our ratings until the very end.
We promise to give you all of our honest opinions and all the characters, chapters, and scenarios. We don't mean any harm to any of the authors. This is solely our opinion. And as always, we promise to call them like we read them.
Period. Some trigger warnings for this book and episode include references to sex and nudity on page, sexual content, alcohol mentioned, parents with terminal illness, age gap and grooming relationship, like a teacher and student relationship, slut shaming, bullying, workplace misogyny and sexism, an eating disorder and dieting, fainting, and hospitals. So as always, be sure to take care of yourselves. Spoilers will lie ahead.
If you don't want to hear how this book ends, please pause here, go read the book, and come back to this episode. Are you ready to get started?
Let's get into it.
Yeah, so to recap our last episode, Lena and Aaron have decided to enter a mutual agreement to have him pretend to be her boyfriend on a visit to Spain to attend her sister's wedding. Lena and Aaron are sworn enemies in Lena's mind, and Aaron is breaking down some walls where we find out that Aaron is not maybe the sworn enemy that Lena has thought he is. Left off with them just now landing in Spain, has kind of had a panic attack. He's assured her that they're in it together. And so they go and meet with Lena's parents. They end up going to a two-bedroom apartment that Lena's parents rent out. Lena decides they are not going to sleep in the same bedroom. So she takes him across the hall to a smaller bedroom that has a twin-size bed that will not fit him. When he goes to try to make the twin bed work, it buckles under his weight. As he's on the ground trying to get up, her cousin shows up and announces that she's staying there with them, but forces them to go into the one bed situation.
And which we all love.
Yes.
I'll say though, I think it would have been cute if they did one night separate. And then, like, he broke the bed when they came home that night, the first night or something. And then it forced him to sleep with her that in the same bed from there forward. As opposed to, like, from the get-go breaking the bed and the cousin being there. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish the cousin hadn't been there. I don't feel like it added to it. And I feel like we could have gotten away with more if the cousin wasn't there.
Agreed. I think there would have been them getting up in the middle of the night, half naked or something, going to the kitchen to get some water. Yes.
I could 1,000% seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like he just like hears these and he goes out to check to see what the noise is, and or like she decided to make a midnight snack, cook something, and he smells something because she set it on fire and he goes to check. You know, just like that, I think would have honestly like kind of forced them together a little bit better than the one bed situation, because I don't really feel like we got anything out of the one bed like we normally do. Like I feel like usually it's like they're asleep or like falling asleep and they end up in each other's arms, but it really wasn't even like the one bed forced them together. So I don't
know. The one bed just gave us made sense when they did it. That's literally it.
Yes. And I think that it was almost like we were supposed to like hate her, but at the same time, like, she really didn't do anything to make us hate her.
It was weird.
And then I just kind of awkward the fact that she was like, oh, the walls are really thin. And when they were doing stuff, your cousin's hearing you down the hall.
That's my biggest fear.
Yeah, it was just real awkward. And I don't feel like that was necessary. Honestly, I think it would have been even better if it was like her than her grandma, who like couldn't hear and took off her hearing aids at night or something. Like, I just feel like there could have been something.
Grandma would have been putting her ear to the door when she was acting in this book. But I agree. It was weird.
I think that it could have been done much, much better. And that also, like, they're like the reason why he couldn't sleep on the floor is because they're afraid the cousin would bust in the room. Like, first of all, cousin needs to learn boundaries. Second of all, like,
doesn't the door lock?
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure the door locks. Who are y'all fooling?
Yeah, nobody. And not only that, but again,
also, aren't we adults? I don't like this whole idea of two boundary respecting, trusting adults cannot sleep in the same bed together without somehow ending up having sex.
Yeah.
You're an adult. You're fully in control of what you do. Either you want to do it or you don't. And if you don't trust that he won't try it when you don't want to try it, then you shouldn't sleep in bed with him. But like, when we're setting this scene up, you obviously do trust him. So like, it just gets like a kind of a gray area that feels kind of icky sometimes with the way it's written. Not necessarily, this one wasn't done bad, but sometimes it can be like, you don't trust him.
In this sense, if that was the case, you travel to another country with this man. If you didn't trust him, why did you get on a plane with him?
He's clearly been very, very respectful. So why can't you both share the bed?
Yeah.
I don't know. If it was me, we sharing a bed. I do have friends that are like, I guess like only kids that have never shared the bed even with friends. And they're always like, no, that's so weird to me. I've had sleepovers and we all crammed in the bed. Like, yeah. I don't know. So it just seems strange to me how we always are like, oh no, oh, he can sleep on the floor. Well, it's a bed.
Yeah.
Calm down. I get like if it was a twin and you have to be laying on top of each other in order to even sleep. Like that's a little bit different, but it clearly wasn't a twin in this scenario. So I don't know. But we love a one bed trope. But it's, I feel like it really hits when it's enemies to lovers. Mm-hmm. If they had to share a bed in New York before we got to Spain, it would have hit better. Like maybe their plane got delayed and they had to share a hotel room and there was only one bed or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
But like enemies to lovers, it hits because we know they don't trust each other. They're like trying to kill each other or something. And they end up cuddled anyways. And like, that's when it's like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like it really is like opposites.
I honestly would have loved like a little bit. They woke up in each other's arms and then they woke up and I'm like, ew, I can't believe you were like touching me, you know, moment. Even then, I think it would have made it a little bit better.
Yeah,
like we still
played into the one bed trope,
but still got that, like the enemies to lovers kind of aspect. By the time we got to Spain, it was like friends to lovers. It wasn't really more than that.
I agree.
Really enjoy the fact that they were apparently getting joint bachelorette activities, and Lena accidentally tells Aaron that he's the closest thing to a freaking god.
I think we should do that for your bachelorette party, but hear me out, not like play soccer, but different activities that we would actually enjoy.
Friends are nerds, so they're probably gonna have a video game day.
That is the lamest thing I have ever
I want to do a book day where we just like, or book weekend where we do bookish things.
We're still going to the bar at some point.
I don't drink, so why would we go to a bar?
To listen to music.
Like a karaoke
bar. And for everybody else to have a drink. Yeah, a karaoke bar, we could do that. We can't literally, all five of us, just sit in a cabin all weekend and read.
Oh, no.
We're not the same kind of people.
I'm talking about doing, like, bookish things. Like, you know, going to, like, bookstores or museums. I haven't looked into it because I don't plan on doing it anytime soon, or if at all.
We'd have to have an itinerary because I feel like we're all so different. You'll have to pick activities and this is what we're doing because you want to do it. And that's the bottom line.
Maybe, like, the bedazzling a book thing, like a good fun activity.
Yeah, and I'd bedazzle like Den of Vipers, and this poor girl would be traumatized over here knowing.
I've liked is like maybe even go to New York and watch like some Broadway shows and then visit some bookstores and things like that. But I know that would be really expensive. I don't think that would be something we'd be able to do.
I'm down. If you give me at least a 6-month notice that this is what we're going to do, I can do whatever you want. You and I can go to Broadway.
To the joint bachelorette. Aaron obviously joins the men's team, joins the females team. And as they're working through different tasks and things, Lena's former level, Danielle, shows up and he comes over to greet Lena and Aaron. And Aaron gets a little possessive of sorts over Lena. And we end up finding out that Danielle is actually a 40-year-old college professor that he was Lena's professor at some point.
Before they started
doing
anything.
And his new fiance, I guess, is a professor, but will however, miss the wedding due to a work conflict, which I don't know how you, as a professor, you have a work conflict that comes up last minute, but that's a different story. Competition is a soccer game, which apparently Lena is really good at. However, Aaron is not, but I really enjoyed as they get started on the game. Aaron takes shirt and Lena is just speechless by this. And he calls as he's walking away and said, "Remember, all's fair in love and war, Bolito," which stands for cookie or a sweet bun, which is the nickname that she said would not be happening. So
funny. I thought that was fun, like something different. We get strip clubs and stuff always in the book or whatever, but I just thought it was fun and different to do activities. It gave us more of the characters too, like finding out more about Aaron and Lena and their history and past that they haven't shared with each other yet. Mm-hmm. In a fun way of sharing it other than just having a conversation about it.
Yeah.
To end it with him scoring the winning goal with her over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
That was adorable.
And I did really like that, especially whenever like her whole family is like pulling out phones to like record the whole situation. She also ends up pinching his butt too, and he is just like completely took off guard by this. Lena's still kind of convinced that this is an act, which I'm going to be honest, that's kind of the part of this trope that I don't like. Whenever it's just like, is this real? Is this not real? Like the whole time I'm just like, okay, just, hey, real, let me do this. Hey, this is fake, let me do this. Like, I don't want to, like, I know it's real, so stop you questioning it.
I think if you were in the scenario, though, you wouldn't know. Like, and I mean, the reality is nobody's going to stop and say, this is fake, this is real.
Oh, 100%.
This is real.
I just, as a reader, I get frustrated because I'm like, I know that it's real. Just stop questioning it.
But at that point, she still did not know it was real.
True.
When he makes the comment about, when I kiss you for the first time, you'll know there's nothing fake about it. That's very obvious meaning that he is into her. If she's still questioning, is this real? It does get on my nerves, yeah. Too. I agree. I do agree.
I still knew it was by...
But he was just so hot. I love Aaron. He's so clear in his intentions, and I feel like that's rare in anybody nowadays, first of all.
At a certain point in the book, it's not really clear the whole time.
I disagree.
You just get like a nice guy act at the beginning. It's not, I'm in love with you completely.
Baby, he literally came into her office and said, "You were concerned about struggling with this project. Let me give you a handbook to show you exactly how to do this project to make it successful with your name on it. Simply because I'm so in love with you, I just can't stand the thought of you stressing about this." That's not a nice guy.
No,
a nice guy would say, "You got
say
this,
he
bud."
He was in love with her, and that was why he was doing it.
He didn't say it, but we know it.
Now
he's obsessed with her already.
Now we know it, but at the time
he kept homemade granola bars in his bag for when she needed a snack. That right there is like the love of my life. Better carry around snacks for me because that speaks to my soul.
Qualification right there.
Literally, I need my man to carry it for me.
No.
If you don't have snacks on hand, you're not going to like me.
But there's so many gas stations around, you can get a snack at this point.
No.
Yeah.
I could. I shouldn't have to.
She should just guess when you're going to want a snack and have it on standby.
He should know. I'm pretty consistent. I want a snack every day. Maybe a couple times a day. About mid-morning and about 10 a.m., at 3 p.m., I'm ready for a snack.
What you're telling me is you really like Aaron because he fed her all the time.
That's why I really liked Lucas in book two. Yes, I love a man. Yes, 1,000%.
Top qualification right there.
That's just one thing I would have to do for myself. Like, just a little way you could take care of me that would speak volumes for me. Absolutely. 1,000%. He also did other things to take care of her, though. And, like, he knew her. He knew she would like that taco truck. And when she was like, "Oh, I'll have 3 or 4, he was like, "Nah, I'm going to get her 5. Because he knew she would enjoy it and she would like to eat. We love a man that supports a healthy eating habit. I don't know. That's just me. But, and then, like, I mean, he did other things, too. Like, he carried her bag at the airport. even though we gave her shit about it being heavy, he was like, still gonna carry it. He doesn't have to carry it. You know, and then with her family, he learned Spanish so he could communicate with her family. He learned all about them so he could impress all of them to make her happy, so it would take a load off of her. He was gonna sleep on the floor if he had to. He, like, every little thing he could do, he did. When they got back and that whole thing happened, he was gonna defend her, and the first thing he does is go to HR and say, let me be very clear, that is my woman. Whatever the company policy is, we'll get in key with it, I guess, unless it says I can't be with her, and then we got a problem. That's hot. What man do you know that would think about an HR policy?
Yeah, but that's at the None. End of the book.
He's thinking about it the whole time. He was all planned out. When she was ready to say, we can't do this because you're my future boss, he was like, no. We're going to do this. We're going to make this work. It's you and me together. That's what I need. I need somebody that's got my back. Because I got everybody else's.
Well,
I love Aaron Blackburn.
I did.
He got money, so, you know, that don't hurt nothing. What's the girl of Love is... No, not Love is Blind. Love on the Spectrum? The girl that wants the millionaire?
Yeah, Danny.
That's me.
I really also really like whenever they ask him how they met, and he goes into this whole story about the first day of work, how she had brought him a gift, and he was trying to, like, keep distance from her because he knew that it was possibly going to go down a trail of a relationship.
Because she was distracting. From the moment he met her, he could not focus on anything but her. He knows all these little details about her.
And he states that what he said, it ended up insulting her. And he states that he regretted it instantly. And kind of the entire group and Isabel.
Me included.
Yeah. Isabel was like, you have no idea how happy this makes me. It's the best wedding gift I could ever get. Honestly, it was a little traumatic for me. But I mean, I guess whenever they thought that she wasn't going to date anybody ever, I could get where that's like a relief.
She just ran away from home, and they've never been to America, and she's not been home since. They hadn't seen her in years.
Yeah.
To think about your little girl or your little sister across the country all by herself, I think that would be pretty terrifying. To know she's got somebody with her over there, I think would be tremendous relief, probably.
Yeah. The other thing was whenever they go to the nightclub, and they get...
The tension.
Yeah, they get pretty tenuous with each other. She ends up running outside to get some air just because she's overwhelmed with lust. She asks him why he quit football. And so he describes that, you know, he kind of became this perfect football player for his dad, who was his coach. He finished his college career about a year after his mother had passed. Him and his father really just honestly absorbed their relationship into football, and that was all their relationship had become. And he's just stated that, you know, he became happy playing football, which whenever Lena does ask him if he's happy now, he says that he's not, but he's working towards his happiness.
Which should be a little bit of a red flag, but it's not.
So when they do end up back by, and so Ed, they have a little bit of a sneak kind of kiss situation, I guess you can say. They have some tension that's built up. I give her a pass. There was that high tension. Like, why would you sit there and be going to bed about that?
I'm drunk. I'm out. The moment I lay down on that bed, I'm gone.
She claims she wasn't that drunk, though.
We always think we're not that drunk till we're falling over down the stairs and realizing, oh, maybe I was.
But Lee does end up waking up the next morning in Aaron's arms, and she sneaks into the kitchen where she ends up accidentally running into her cousin. Kind of like an awkward kind of moment. And she is sitting there drinking her coffee whenever Aaron comes out of the bedroom, and her cousin's kind of questioning him and his intentions. Her basically entire female members of her family show up, and they end up asking what her, like, his intentions are and if he intends to marry her and have children. And he does respond he has to get married and have children and many dogs. And Lena said they will not get many dogs, so they don't have to raise many children. He wins them all over. He also opens lap and has her sitting on his lap the entire time because he wants to talk to her about the almost kiss. And
that's hot too. A man that doesn't want to pretend it just didn't happen.
Yeah. I did enjoy that he did want to address it head on because she was really like, I'm going to run for the hills, leave you with the females out of here. And he's like, yeah. Absolutely not. As she's squirming around in his lap, he's gone on top of that. So like super hot moment. Mm-hmm. The next do end up at a banquet for the wedding party. In this banquet, somehow the conversation ends up back on Lena and Aaron's relationship. And they all talk hard Lena's life had been whenever the relationship had ended with Danielle.
He's sitting right there.
Yes. Yes. It's not awkward at all. They say he's like just sitting there watching his phone, which honestly made me hate him. Like, you can't even address the fact that you ruined this girl's life head on, but whatever.
No, because he's a coward.
But to the restroom, and Danielle ends up following her, and he does apologize for the way the relationship ended, but I just kind of feel like it was
fake.
Yeah, or a little too late. And he talks about how he doesn't think that she's like completely happy, and now he thinks of her like a younger sister, which honestly is super offensive. Like, you had a relationship with this chick. You can't think of her as a younger sister.
You slept with her.
Yeah.
You cannot think of her as a younger sister. That's absolutely disgusting. Not. I will say, she finally said something in that scene, though.
Yes, she did. That was really the only time she said something, but he does make some patronizing remarks, and she stands up and voices herself. And then her grandma comes over and, you know, saves her and leads her back to the table. But she does say
grandma's
that
cute.
Aaron looks like a lost puppy without her, constantly looking for her and everything. So when she's back to the table, Aaron does reach for her arm or her hand and like squeezes her hand. It's almost like reassuring, like, is everything okay? You know, you good? Kind of subtle conversation, and say anything much more for the night. Whenever they do return home, getting into her head about her conversation with Danielle, and Aaron makes her sit between his legs so she can explain like what happened between her past relationship, which we do finally get the full story. So she explains that she had been his student and they started dating when she was no longer his student, but if rumors started circulating that she had gotten good grades because she had slept with him. She sort of cut off a lot of her relationships, deleted her social medias, and just kind of decided to leave when they broke up and go to America.
Can I add, though, and I'm not saying that it's right, it's absolutely wrong, but did she really think that when the school found out, they weren't going to start those rumors?
I mean, just a female and you get any kind of situation like that, they're going to think that you've slept your way to the top or you've slept your way to...
That's their favorite line.
Yeah.
They literally just said that about Kamala Harris running for president.
I've gotten that in the past, like, you know, because I'm a woman in automotive field, like, you must have slept your way to the top to get there. No.
I love how they really think, like, we really could sleep our way to the top. If we really could sleep our way to the top, we'd all be at the top.
Yeah.
Because men are simple creatures.
If that's all they think that it takes to get us to the top, then yes.
We would all be at the top. We would run this world. It's just, but, like, it also felt very naive of her to assume, like.
Not assume that it would happen, yeah.
Yeah, or not, like, not even have that concern before getting into the relationship, you know?
I mean, to be honest, as women, that's just kind of, at this point, an expectation.
Par for the course. Yeah. Yeah.
Anytime we're successful, that's always something that gets thrown out there, no matter what.
Yeah. But also, if she actually wasn't his student and there was no review by the school or something like that, then who cares what these other students are saying?
Yeah.
Check my transcript, baby. It's been good the whole time.
Well, and I did really like that Aaron's reassuring comment. He says, I know that even if something did break you, because that's life and no one is invincible, you still put the pieces back together and remain the brightest thing I'd ever seen.
so in love with this man.
Yeah, it was such a reassuring moment.
Also, a man that can massage my shoulders. Absolutely.
So Lena goes to get ready with her sister, and she's kind of worried about Aaron and how he's going to handle her family without her around. And he's pretty much just like, you know, hey, I'm fine, but your cousin keeps trying to sneak pictures of me. Kind of gets rid by that. And she does see him during the ceremony, and they travel to the after party together. And the kiss cam that her sister has gotten keeps floating around. And so...
Did you find that weird?
Yes. Yes.
I don't remember finding it as weird the first time, but when it came back up this time, I was like, a kiss cam? At the wedding?
Yeah.
How are we even doing that?
And then she was like,
And
then she was like, I'm going to create a montage to keep forever. And I was like, that's not awkward, but okay.
Well, and like, what a strange thing. It was weird to me. And like, did she give pictures of like actual couples so that the kiss cam person would know these are people that I would actually like want a montage of kisses from, as opposed to like some random new girlfriend that came with somebody's cousin to the, you know what I mean? Like,
you know, I thought it was just like they have it like baseball games or something. Like, I just assumed it was just like random. And honestly, probably got some of those, that's my brother, that's my dad kind of situations going on.
No, I agree. That's how I pictured it. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, was there more to it? Like, would she have, you know, been like, I want one of my mom and dad, I want one of aunt and uncle, yeah, you know, whatever, so that I can have these to document it. And it would be, like, a really cute, loved up video from the wedding. Or did we do we just let it scan and get whoever it got?
If it was like a video of like, you know, this is what's worked for our love, this is how we've been together for so long, if it was something like that, could completely understand. But you wanting a video of like two people in your family making out, that's weird to me.
I also, it would have made more sense to me if they had said like that's how they met, was like on a kiss cam or something.
Yeah.
And like tied it in somehow. But yeah, it was so random and felt like creepy. Kind and then they don't even end up on the kiss cam. So then I was like, no, it really didn't matter, other than it built tension to where she was about to burst out of her skin. But we could have done that simpler. I don't know.
I did like though that he pulled her away because he didn't want their first kiss to be on the camera. Like, I did think that was really sweet.
Oh yeah, it was hot.
But basically, she just like, as soon as they kissed, she was like, let's go town. And he was like, whoa, people can come by, let's go back to the reception. But honestly, didn't last very long before they were back in the room and going to town. But
it was a long scene too.
I would really like to say that this summary states the experience is gratifying for the both of them.
That's hilarious. Okay, that's, I guess that's a nice way to say they both, yeah, came. I think it's funny though. Okay, so I listened to the book this time instead of reading it. You never realize how long sex scenes are until you're listening to them.
Oh yeah.
And then you're like, is it ever gonna stop? I drove like 2 hours home this morning and finished the book, and the like end scene that was happening or whatever, and I was like, dude, how long is this sex scene gonna last? This is crazy. Like, it was just like me driving down the road listening to this. It was so awkward and weird. And like reading it, like I wouldn't even have blushed. Like, I can read it with like a straight face. You'd never know what I was reading was that filthy. Mm-hmm. But listening to it is a whole different story, especially when it's like,
Carly blushes real bad when she listens to it, but when she reads it,
it doesn't make any sense, but I cannot listen to somebody else read it and I get all shy. But when I'm reading it, it's just like, oh, okay. I can't explain it. But it had me thinking, like, what if I got into a car accident and this is just playing? and here come the police, and this audiobook is just playing the sex scene, I might as well die. Like, what the heck?
You probably would die of embarrassment, so that's valid.
Yeah.
They did end up flying back home shortly afterwards, and Nina starts worrying about her relationship since Aaron's now her boss. She talks about how she needs to, they need to talk about it and everything, and he just says, hey, let's just spend the evening, you know, together, and then we'll go in the morning and we'll figure this out.
I loved that. No, look at me. Come home with me. We'll figure this out together. Sold. Absolutely. Any day of the week. Like, what the... Oh my gosh.
I really enjoyed the fact that Rosie, you know, is messaging her, like, are you okay? Like, where are you at? And she's like, I'm coming over. I want to hear all about it. She's like, I'm actually not going home tonight. And Rosie was like, oh my God, give me all the deeds. And then because she's in the bathroom for so long, Aaron knocks on the door and he's like, hey, you good? I'm fixing to come in if you don't answer me. But after they get settled in, they go out for fish tacos again. And whenever they're out, they kiss in public. And Lena thinks she spots a member of Gerald's team watching them. But she kind of just brushes it off.
Which, foreshadowing. Hello.
Yes. So very next chapter, her and Rosie are sitting gossiping about what happened in Spain. And Gerald comes up and taunts Lena about achieving everything she has by sleeping with the boss, which honestly, he literally just got promoted. How did you
get anything? He's not even the boss yet.
Yeah. So like, how did she get anything?
And she worked there before him and she's had the same position since he's been there.
Which honestly, that's another thing that kind of bothered me about the whole Lena aspect. Was like, oh my God, I'm so triggered by the words. And I'm just like, okay, first of all, valid, but at the same time, think about it logically. Doesn't quite make sense how you got anything because of Aaron. If anything, Aaron got things because of you, because you've been there longer than him. So
yeah. All I wanted her to do was break his jaw.
Yes.
My thought process is, you can't run your mouth if you can't move your jaw.
True. But whenever Aaron arrives, he asks what's going on. Lena refuses to say something, but Rosie does. And when Aaron...
Which, good for her, because I thought, if she keeps her mouth shut, we're going to have problems.
Yeah.
Because if that was you, I would have done punch him in the jaw. I don't care. Who are you talking to?
I would punch him in the jaw, but I know you would have done it already. So
after the first sentence left his mouth, I'd already been up and swinging.
I probably would have to be the one pulling you off of him so that way you didn't end up arrested. So,
because who are you talking to? Literally, who are you talking to? No.
But Aaron basically does ask him, you know, if he wants to lose his job. And Gerald, you know, kind of says, you know, you can't do anything about me. You know, I have golf buddies in upper management or whatever. And Aaron was just like, we'll see about that.
No, he said, I don't care about your golf buddies. I will ruin you.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can ruin me. It was so good. I love Aaron.
But Daniel, or she does end up running away, and she does express to Aaron, like, whenever he catches up to her, that the entire situation is kind of reminding her of the Danielle situation. And he just says, you know, I get you don't fully trust me still, but like, I'm not going to let him ruin our relationship or our jobs or anything. And she just is standoffish about the situation, which kind of just makes him walk away. And so that night, Lena and Rosie end up spending time together where they're watching movies and crying. And Lena asks Rosie if Dune's love is worth pursuing. And Rosie responds, when you find that kind of love, time stops mattering, which I found really sweet. However, Lena still doesn't talk to him for 3 days.
Well, so this might also help, and I don't know why it doesn't, like, go into more detail in this book about it. Maybe she hadn't decided this yet. I don't know. But Rosie is actually a romance author in the next book. She is trying to, like, write a book and get off of her, like, and become an author full time instead of working at this job.
Okay.
So, like, it makes sense that she's like a, you know, very
Yeah.
like true love and
I think that would have
romance.
been an important detail to kind of
I
include.
agree. I agree.
Even if Rosie just made the comment, like, oh my God, I'm going to use this content in my next book. Like, it's just it's so like swoon worthy or something or another. I don't
She
know.
makes the comment in her book that they are like a romance book or whatever, but I don't know why. I don't know if she just hadn't decided yet maybe what she was going to do for the plot of it. Maybe that's why it wasn't included, but I almost wanted to like rewrite it and add it in there somewhere so that it
Yeah, I
makes
do
more
feel like that
sense.
would have been an important detail
Yeah.
to their friendship for sure.
Yeah.
But she does not speak to him for 3 days. And Aaron is also missing work, which is very unusual for him. But the head of HR does call Lena down to her office, and she tells Lena that she has the right to file a complaint against Gerald for his remarks. And she actually ends up also stating that several people have actually came to HR to complain about him and also complain about some remarks he's made towards Lena.
Which I
But
love.
they stated that Lena was going to have to be the one that officially files the complaint. She tells her to, you know, take her time, you know, that people are supporting her, which honestly, Lena kind of steps back and she's like, wow, this is a different experience than I got the last time for sure. Which she does end up asking while Aaron is absent. And up to this point, Sharon's not been a friend. Sharon's not been talked about. So the fact that she breaks kind of some violations in HR and discloses that Aaron's father's dying.
I just glossed over that.
Yeah, I did too, because I mean, that's a huge no-no. But
Aaron,
yeah. But she ends up finding out that he's there. So Lena flies to Seattle to be with him. And I also really loved the fact that she drives to several different hospitals to try to find him.
yes.
And she ends up finding Aaron in the waiting room. And he's kind of like, doesn't believe she's there because he hasn't slept in several days.
It was
But
so cute. He was like, "Are you real? Are you really here?"
yeah. And then
Mom.
they like hug and kiss and everything, and she's just like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry for like leaving you. If I knew you were going through this, I would never would have left you. And I absolutely swooned whenever they tell him that his father's awake, and he whenever they walk in to the room, he says, you know, is this her? Which he'd been unconscious, and Aaron didn't know that his father had heard him whenever he was describing everything with Lena. And he was like, you know, is this your Thea? Which is Aaron's mother. And he ends up telling Aaron to hold on to her. I found that such a swoon-worthy moment. Loved it. But that kind of reconciles their story. We end up getting to where they're all going on a family vacation. Her family is flying in from Spain. His fam her his dad's coming to this rental house, and they're, you know, now spending time together and prepping for this Christmas trip, or not Christmas trip, but I think it's a summer trip or something, vacation. But we end up do finding out that Gerald was fired for sexual misconduct, and Rosie is actually promoted into his position. And
We love that he gets fired and a woman gets promoted in his position.
yes,
That's what you get.
Aaron has been promoted, and they actually made a trip back to Spain to actually explain what happened with their relationship to Lena's family, which honestly, I would have just kept it a secret. I would have never like solidified what happened.
I think it's kind of hot that he wants to fess up and take accountability.
I mean, yes, but at the same
He
time,
pretty
like,
much said, but here's the thing. He pretty much said, "I was so in love with your daughter that I let her use me as a fake boyfriend just to get close to her." Which sounds creepy with the way I just said that. But no, so hot.
yeah, but at the same time, like,
You can't want like more for your kid though to be loved like that. Like, you know. You disagree?
I would have kept it a secret. I mean, there's no point for them knowing, really. What's it going to change? But the fact that they started off their entire relationship with you was a lie.
Well, what if they continue forward at this point and don't tell, and then like years down the road it comes out and like it impacts something? Really sad that you don't get Lucas in this book. I didn't remember that being that way.
Yeah, it's just really Rosie talking about Lucas, to be honest.
I don't know that I would have told either. I mean, accountability is hot.
So what is your final thoughts and ratings?
So let me preface this by saying that I read this book a couple years ago, and it was like when I first got back into it. Rereading it, I might have lowered it a little bit, but I decided not to because, like, it still just makes me so giddy, and it's such a cute little fun romance. And, like, there is a third act breakup, but it's not, like, extremely severe. So it's not like a total 180 and then you're just like devastated and not living back together or whatever, which some books are. You're like, wait, was this a happy ever after? Or yeah. Did I just set myself up to be horrified? But so my rating is a 5. I do have some notes that I would probably give the author that I think would make this even better. I love it. I love Erin Blackford. I love Lena. Like, I kind of like breeze past the things that like don't match up with her and stick to more like what really is happening for her in the book. I do wish she was a little bit more of a spitfire like she was described by her parents and stuff, but for me it didn't ruin it enough that I was going to decrease the rating. I love this book. So what about you?
So I started at 3, go up or down from there. And I have to say probably the first part of the book kind of ruined it from being a 5-star for me. I could not breeze past the fact that like she was a totally different person than what her kind of description was at the end, because I really do feel like that could have made me connect a lot more with her if she was that the same consistently across the board. So I did take off like 0.25 for that. And I mean, overall though, I would still say it's probably about a 4.5 to 4.75. I mean, I would say it's probably, I would feel comfortable saying like 4.6. Like it was good. It was, you know, a good comedic kind of book as well, which I was kind of shocked by that it had some comedy in it. But I really think that the entire front part of the book before they go to Spain needed to be rewrote to make us connect better with the characters, to make us have a consistent character base. I mean, I understand like a character arc, but it's not even like arcing with the character. It's just kind of like, we're a different, you know, person. So it didn't have a consistency or even like a stream smooth line to what that character is. So I did have a little bit of an issue with that. So I would say probably like 4.6 is where I'm most comfortable at staying at. Because I mean, overall, it was good. I really did love the ending. I do like Erin. He's you know, a really great person. You're more so like golden retriever kind of vibes with your men you read. I'm not so much. I like a good healthy distance, respectful distance. So
that is so not accurate.
Yes.
Noah Riley is 1000% golden retriever boyfriend, and he's your top.
I would say he's about the only one in the top that's like golden retriever.
No. Your Mile High series?
Okay, Ryan, yes. Well,
your Cowboy series?
Okay, maybe.
Should I just continue to name characters?
Yours is like, mine's like respectful from a distance golden retriever.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yes, because they're not just like, let me.
Golden retrievers are clingy.
No, yours is like, let me get on my hands and knees and roll down a red carpet for you and dust all the dirt off of the ground so you can walk on clean dirt.
Because I deserve to be worshipped.
That's great for you. I'm like, okay, you can be obsessed with me, but you don't have to be like on your hands and knees cleaning dirt off the ground for me.
Then he's not obsessed with you.
Yeah. They can be obsessed in different ways.
No. If you're not obsessed, you
like princess treatment.
Duh! I deserve to be taken care of.
I'm not disputing that. It's just not my vibe.
Here's what's funny, okay? There's only two ways to be obsessed in this show. Either it's princess treatment or it's stalking. And I'm into both, but neither of those are what you're talking about.
There's a healthy golden retriever that I'm okay with, but
okay.
The princess treatment is just a little too much.
I don't think it's princess treatment. I don't actually need you to roll me out a red carpet, but
that's pretty much what every one of the men that you have in your top are doing.
No, they're not. Keeping a snack in your bag for me because you know I get hangry is not princess treatment.
printing out documents because they know you like to highlight them, carrying your bag for you.
That's knowing me. That's taking a burden off of me. That's hot.
Tomato, tomato.
Going to work and earning an income so that you can afford our bills so that I'm not stressed about it is hot. That's not princess treatment. That's tomato. Like the bare minimum.
Tomato, tomato.
What? Okay, whatever. Anyways, that's fine. If you think it's princess treatment, maybe that's what I like. I wouldn't know in the first place. But in fictional men, maybe that's what I like. So if you liked this episode or any of our other episodes, please continue to follow along and listen to our podcast episodes. Our regular episodes will still be 2 books per month, and we will split them up into 2 parts for each book, and it'll come out every single Friday now. If we have a bonus episode, it'll be the 5th Friday of the month, or just a random date if there's not a 5th Friday. We do have extra content, a community chat, and more on Patreon if you'd like to join over there.
You can also send us book suggestions, comments, or general inquiries to our email likewereadthem@carlmpodcast.com. You can also join us on Fable, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram for more engagement from us in the latest news. Carl, do you want to let them know what our next read is?
Okay, so on April 18th, we will be doing, we'll be discussing part one, I guess, of The Love Theoretically by Allie Hazelwood. Very excited for my little women in STEM romance. Not sure that Emily's going to be as excited, but we shall see. We shall see. The blurb for that book is, "The many lives of theoretical physicist Elsie Hannaway have finally caught up with her. By day, she's an adjunct professor toiling away at grading labs and teaching thermodynamics in the hopes of landing tenure. By other day, Elsie makes up for her non-existent paycheck by offering her services as a fake girlfriend, tapping into her expertly honed people-pleasing skills to embody whichever version of herself the client needs. Honestly, it's a pretty sweet gig, until her carefully constructed Elsieverse comes crashing down, because Jack Smith, the annoyingly attractive and arrogant older brother of her favorite client, turns out to be the cold-hearted experimental physicist who ruined her mentor's career and undermined the reputation of theorists everywhere. And he's the same Jack Smith who rules over the physics department at MIT, standing right between Elsie and her dream job. Elsie is prepared for an all-out war of scholarly sabotage, but those long, penetrating looks, not having to be anything other than her true self when she's with him, will falling into an experimentalist orbit finally tempt her to put her most guarded theories on love into practice." So, we appreciate you tuning into this episode. We hope you tune in next week and listen for that episode. We can't wait to hear your thoughts. And you should join us over on Fable to discuss as we read each book. And as always, we promise to crawl them like we read them.